bit, but I have a guest standing by as we're shifting gears. We had our friends at the Southern Poverty Law Center put out their list of hate groups across the country, and a number of groups that come under the general umbrella of pro-family were listed among those hate groups, including the Illinois Family Institute. They would take some umbrage with the idea that they're a hate group. They don't really hate anybody, they would state. And to that end, I bring in their cultural analyst, who is Lori Higgins, who stands by. And Lori, thanks for being here. Good to have you. How's life?
Good morning. Thank you. Life is good, except for what the Southern Poverty Law Center has done to us.
Yeah. Is this your first year? I should know. How many years have you been listed?
Well, actually, that's a kind of an interesting story. I've only been with the Illinois Family Institute since 2008, and it was shortly after I started that I discovered that we were on this hate groups list. And at that time, I called the Southern Poverty Law Center to ask, and they said we were on it for one reason, which was a one-paragraph article that a previous person had posted in which it claimed that homosexuals have a shortened lifespan. That's all it said, no inflammatory rhetoric at all, and that was the only reason that we were on it. And I took that down. They took us off the list, and then in 2010 they put it back on. But now they have an expanded list of reasons that groups go on their hate groups list.
So what is, in the expanded list of reasons, where are you most hateful?
Well, apparently if you propagate, this is their language, any of these, quote, known falsehoods about homosexuality, you can be on their list. And that includes statements such as homosexuals don't live nearly as long as heterosexuals, even though the International Journal of Epidemiology has made that claim. If you are to say that hate crime laws will lead to the jailing of pastors who criticize homosexuality, this is their specific language, you can be included on their hate groups list. If you say that homosexuals can choose to leave homosexuality, this is their language, you go on their hate groups list.
Well, it's funny because I just mentioned that I had been at a wedding last month. No, it was earlier this month, as a matter of fact. Where the bride, I've known her, you know, peripherally for some time. I found out that the bride, prior to this marriage, had been in a relationship with a woman for 22 years.
Well, of course, there's thousands of people who have chosen to leave homosexuality. That doesn't mean that they never experience same-sex attraction again, but they choose to reject that identity and they choose to reject that lifestyle. They leave homosexual relationships. And if there's one group that is hated more than conservatives, it's people who by the homosexual activist movement. It's those who choose to leave homosexuality.
They're hated by them?
Oh, my gosh. There are people. There's a gentleman named Michael Glatz who was a very influential young homosexual activist who several years ago chose to leave homosexuality, vilified by the homosexual community. And there's multiple stories. If they come out very publicly and say that they have chosen to reject this life, they are vilified. There's a great article right now on a wonderful website called Public Discourse by an English professor in California named Robert Lopez, who talks about being raised by two lesbian mothers and how hurtful that was to him, even though he dearly loved his mother, his biological mother, and how he entered into the homosexual life, and he has chosen to leave it. He is married and has children now, and those people are the most vilified.
Well, do those who vilify them go on a hate list?
Well, that's, of course, the problem, is this principle that is not consistently applied. I mean, they're using, in public schools now, the argument is that if you say that homosexual acts are not moral, or if you oppose the legal redefinition of marriage, you create a climate into which bullying is going to happen. Well, how much more does it do when you put groups on hate groups lists, which is really problematic with the Southern Poverty Law Center, because law enforcement agencies and public schools use their lists. They have provided no evidence that Illinois Family Institute or anyone who works there hates homosexuals or wants to do them harm. But they will continue to spew this ugly, deceitful rhetoric. And one of the problems is that when you do this, especially when you're telling young kids that conservatives who believe homosexual acts are not moral hate them, you undermine the possibility of relationships and dialogue. And that's what's, I mean, there's a number of things that are destructive. The shooting at the FRC Center last week is one of them. But there's all sorts of other collateral damage that comes from the deceit that the Southern Poverty Law Center promotes.
Well, I've noticed over the years that I think that they might fit their own definition of a hate group.
Especially when it
comes to people who stand where they stand based on their religious principles.
That's right. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church, many Protestant denominations, Orthodox Judaism, Islam, and I'm not talking about radical Islam that wants to do harm to homosexuals. I'm talking about mainstream Muslims who simply believe that homosexual acts are not moral. I was invited to speak to a couple of Muslim organizations, and a mother came to me afterwards, and she was heartbroken that her daughter identifies as homosexual in a homosexual relationship. She and her husband loved this daughter and were heartbroken by this. They didn't hate their daughter. They didn't hate her partner. So what the Southern Poverty Law Center is doing is mainly what their goal is to earn money, and that's another story which is widely available from all sorts of sources about how much money they make out of promoting this alarmist fear-mongering.
Well, how much money do they make? I mean, initially they won, I guess, a case against the Klan in the South, which generated a lot of publicity for them. They successfully sued the Ku Klux Klan for causing a death or for murder, whatever it was, but they civilly went after the Klan and won that case. That's when they made a splash and the donations started coming in.
That's right. In 1987, there was, if that's the case that we're referring to, they made $9 million from fundraising solicitations, and the mother, Beulah Mae Donald, whose son was lynched by Klansmen, she got $51,000 out of that. They made $9 million. Right now they have an endowment, I think it's in 2010, that's the last figure I was able to find, $216 million. It's said that they could, without raising one more penny, they could live on their investments for 4 years without raising one more penny. And very little of their fund money goes to actual civil rights litigation. It goes to administrative and fundraising costs. There's a journal called the Social Contract Journal. In the spring of 2010, the entire journal was essays about the dubious ethics of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They've had staff members quit because of what they're doing and their hyper-focus on fundraising. And promoting these hate groups is more effective fundraising tactic than looking after some of the other issues some of their employees wanted to look at, some employment issues and housing issues and things like that, that don't garner enough money for them.
I would think that to be on a list of hate groups, you would have to stand for something, for believing in something that would be characterized as a hate crime.
That's right.
I mean, even if you don't commit it, you should, somebody who's in a position to push for it or to advocate in some way, shape, or form. But there's nothing that you do that advocates any level of violence of any kind, much less a hate crime.
No, and actually this goes to a sort of a fundamental issue of presuppositions about what homosexuality is. If homosexual conduct, we do not believe people choose their same-sex attraction. We believe they choose how to respond to it. If homosexual acts are not moral acts, it can't be hateful to say that. Actually, we think that what we're doing is a compassionate act because we think that homosexual acts, well, it's known that they're dangerous. The CDC has said the group that they designate, men who have sex with men, are 44 times more likely to contract HIV than the general population. And the fastest growing group is men who have sex with men between the ages of 13 and I think it's 26. So there are concrete, pragmatic reasons to say that. And they actually, that's one of their, if you say, I don't have it right in front of me, about that homosexuals are, I can't remember the exact.
Well, I read myself, and this goes back several years, and maybe when HIV was more the death sentence than it necessarily is today, but it came up because it was taught, say, in a health class at school. I mean, you were supposed to be accepting of people, and that's all well and good, but that, pointing out that homosexuality is just, another form of sexual expression or whatever, which it may well be, but in a health class, What was interesting was that the stats at the time showed that gay men did die younger than smokers. Now, the reason in a health class you would point out that kids should not smoke is because of the detrimental long-term health effect of that behavior. So why in one class you would obviously point out that smoking is bad for you and say the other is simply, you know, a choice, an option? Because at the time, the stats did show that gay men died younger than smokers.
Well, that information is still out there with groups that, with medical groups that are not, as I mentioned earlier, the International Journal of Epidemiology has made that statement. One of the myths that you are not allowed to propagate without being included on the hate groups list is that homosexuals, this is their language, are more prone to mental illness and to abuse drugs and alcohol. That is not a criticism of homosexuals. It's certainly not a moral indictment of them. It's simply a statement of fact, and it's widely available out there. Of course, homosexual activists will say their dispute is what's the cause of it. They will say it's society's disapproval that results in that. Although in Scandinavia, where it's much more accepted and has been for many years, there is the same incidence of mental illness and drug use. So the problem is this is becoming so politicized, you can't have public debates on public policy. For instance, they say if you say that allowing homosexuals to serve openly would damage the armed forces, you go on their hate groups list. Well, how can you debate public policy regarding the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell if only one side is allowed to express their view and provide evidence for those conclusions?
Right. I have more questions, but let me get a quick break in here if I can. People can find you online where?
IllinoisFamily.org, all spelled out, Illinois Family.
IllinoisFamily.org. Speaking with Laurie Higgins here for a couple more minutes, the Illinois Family Institute, the cultural analyst, is that it, Laurie?
Yes.
Cultural analyst. Have you thought about suing them? I mean, for, you call it libel, call it what you want, but just to draw attention to the fact that you vehemently disagree with it, that might get some bit of a splash.
Well, I mean, we'd have to find an organization that would do that, and it's very hard to sue for libel or slander if you're a public organization like we are. So we haven't really considered that. I've done a number of articles trying to expose them. Of course, you need a bigger name, maybe this horrible tragedy at FRC in Washington, D.C., to bring attention to how unethical this organization is, which has really become a mouthpiece for the left. Just last week on the Jewish Press, I think is the organization, has come out with a strong article saying this: the Southern Poverty Law Center is really an anti-Semitic organization also, and people can read about that. They have infiltrated public education, not just through their hate groups list that schools are using, but they have an educational arm called Teaching Tolerance, which has really become a homosexual activist organization. I wrote, I think it was last week or the week before, about two of their activities. They send out a free newsletter to educators, and they have asked, they titled it Queerness Meets Early Childhood Ed. Are you a gay or lesbian teacher who has addressed queerness with your young students? An LGBT parent with preschool through second grade children, we want to hear your stories. And they've also have an activity for kindergarten through fifth graders to transform them into gender activists and use class time to teach them how to be activists in destroying gender stereotypes. It's a really problematic organization. When they put us on originally, they did it, they said, because of this one-paragraph article in 2005, but they didn't put us on any hate groups list in 2008, and they had no criteria, no published criteria on what would justify our inclusion on that list. Subsequently, in 2010, when they came out with propagating these 10 myths, it was as if they went back and had to find criteria that would enable them to put organizations like ours on the list. Because they were being challenged, multiple organizations were saying, you're doing this for religious reasons, you're attacking conservative religious organizations. So they had to manufacture these myths and say, okay, that's what puts you on there. But if none of these have anything to do with hatred. Even if you think these claims are wrong, that, you know, homosexuals serving openly in the military will damage the military, even if you believe that's wrong, it doesn't constitute hate.
Well, no, that's one of those things where if you went back 20 years ago when that debate first started, the attitude of the average 18-year-old going into the military was different than the attitude of the average 18-year-old today. So those things can change over time. It's like you almost need a companion-type organization that can call out these other organizations that seem to be able to label with impunity and point out that, you know, if we're going to use that, I hate the word hate. Now I'm using it. You know, the whole idea that because you disagree with me, you're hateful and you're
a hater.
To me, it's incredibly childish label to put on somebody, much less an organization.
And what they've done is they're saying now that particular moral propositions constitute hatred, but they don't even apply that consistently. So, for instance, polyamory, which is emerging on the scene, which is the romantic, sexual, and emotional attraction and relationship with multiple people at the same time.
Yes.
There's a television program about it. It's growing. They consider it, polyamorists consider that a sexual orientation. It's how they're oriented. No one accuses those who say polyamory is not a good family structure for children. It's not moral sexual activity. No one considers them guilty of hatred. Because in a diverse society...
If morally you're opposed to premarital and extramarital sex, which is a pretty common thought process.
Right.
Why aren't you also labeled a hater?
Exactly. They don't apply it consistently. They don't apply it. Homosexual activists, which is what I'm saying the Southern Poverty Law Center has in effect become, don't apply that to their own moral propositions. Whatever behaviors they think are immoral out there in the world, they do not say, therefore, we hate those people who engage in them. And in a culture that we are supposedly value diversity, they're demanding ideological conformity.
Well, that part of it's not new. Listen, I'm out of time. I have to run, Lori, but I appreciate your time and I guess all your hard work. And next time there's reason to touch base, we'll make it a point to do so. But thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks. See you. Something